I'm Meg Dahl, your Unbreakable host. Welcome to the show. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Unbreakable You podcast. I am so happy to have you join me here again this week. We have a new guest joining us this week, my good friend Danielle Della Valle. She is one of my absolute favorite people, and I am so excited for you to listen to my chat with her. We talk about kind of what I call high level intuitive eating, I guess. Danielle gets into it, and it really has to do with being aware of your body and what your body needs, and then kind of integrating that with intuitive eating. So I love Danielle's take on intuitive eating, and I really wanted her to talk about that. So we chat about that, but also get into just doing the work for you and your health and your goals. So it's a great combo. I can't wait for you to listen. But a few things that I want to chat with you first about before we actually get into the meat of today's show. I have two really exciting announcements. So let's start with those, and then we'll get to my chat with Danielle. So first off, I just launched something called Health Beyond Food. And so Health Beyond Food is my way of teaching you about essential oils and how you can use essential oils to support your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and even financial health. So I've been getting a lot of questions about essential oils lately. I love when you guys send me questions and are always asking me about, you know, essential oils for anxiety and stress and just all of the things. I love your questions, but I thought it would be great for me to start teaching regular online essential oils classes. So Health Beyond Food is how I'm going to do that. So Health Beyond Food are my monthly essential oils classes, and I would love for you to join me. So the very first class that we are going to be having together is exactly 1 week from today, actually. It's Wednesday, October 24th, and you can register for this class. Save your spot at megtherhn.com/healthbeyondfoodclass. Obviously, all one word. So megtherhn.com/healthbeyondfoodclass. Like I said, these are monthly classes. So if you cannot attend the one on Wednesday, there will be another one in November. So you can always be tuning into my classes if you want to be taking them monthly. But if you can't join in with us next week on the 24th, definitely stay tuned. Check out when I schedule the next one in November. But yeah, just head to that link if you are interested in learning more about essential oils and how you can start using them for your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. I'm so passionate about sharing this information because they have completely changed the way I just do my everyday life, that I'm really excited to share this with you. And I'm so happy to have these monthly classes on the calendar now. So I hope you're excited for that as well. And then for all of my fellow nutritionists, entrepreneurs, health coaches, all of that. If you are interested in learning more about business stuff from me, I have been mentoring women for the past 2 years in creating and launching and growing their businesses. So I've launched my own holistic nutrition business back in 2014. And then in 2016, I actually integrated essential oils into my business. And ever since I did that, my business grew substantially. I just like couldn't even believe that, and it wasn't something that I expected. The reason I integrated essential oils into my business actually was to support my clients and in an even more meaningful, deeper way, right? So as a holistic nutritionist, my clients were coming to me and asking me about other ways to take care of themselves above and beyond food, right? So essential oils, I was already using them within my own life, and I started teaching my clients about them, and I like eventually integrated them into my business. And now something that I do as a nutritionist is also supporting other nutritionists, health coaches, and holistic healthcare practitioners. I show them how to do the same so they can also grow their business, but also support their clients in an even deeper way. So we're really tapping into that mental, emotional, spiritual health, and even supporting their physical health in ways that food can't. So if you are interested in learning more about the business aspect of what I do and how I can support you, I have a webinar all about this on Thursday, October 25th. So you can head to megtherhn.com/bizwebinar. So B-I-Z webinar. And go to that link, megtherhn.com/bizwebinar. All the information's there. You can register for the webinar there. And I am so excited for this webinar. I'm actually opening up some spots for private business mentorship with me. So be on the webinar if you're wanting to work with me, grow your business, and have my support along the way. One of my absolute favorite things to do, you guys, is support my fellow entrepreneurs and women who are ready to really step into their power and create a thriving business of their own. So hands down, one of my favorite aspects of my business, and I'm just now putting this out into the world and offering it to a larger amount of people. And I'm really excited for this webinar. So if that speaks to you, definitely head to the link, register, save your spot, and I will see you there. So those are basically all of my updates. As I said, we have a great episode today with my good friend Danielle De La Valle. Danielle and I have met in real life before. We were on a cruise together, the low carb cruise together, and we had tons of fun walking around in the muddy waters of Roatan and just like dying of heat, eating the best seafood. Danielle can speak many different languages, so she was able to get us to a super authentic restaurant in Roatan. It was amazing. I will never forget that day. But anyways, this girl is unreal. She is truly one of my best friends, and I'm so excited for you to listen to us chat today. Enjoy. Danielle, welcome to the show. I am so excited to be sitting down with you today. You are one of my forever besties, and you're finally on my show.
Yay! I'm just so excited to be here, Meg. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. You had to come on the show. And right before I hit record, I was just saying you and I could talk about anything under the sun. So I know today's episode is just going to be so much fun. But for those who are just tuning in today and aren't really familiar with you or your work yet, can you give us a little bit of an intro on yourself, hun?
Yeah. So my name is Danielle Della Valle. I'm a certified nutritional therapy practitioner. I'm also an associate instructor for the Nutritional Therapy Association, where I did my training. And I really started this about 6 years ago. I've worked in the food industry for 18 years. So food is something that's always been a passion of mine, but healing came, you know, a little bit sooner. From now, you know, 6 years ago, I worked in a ketogenic clinic for 2 years as the primary nutritionist. Then I was in private practice, and I've also worked in the community, but then just more recently published my book, Happy Weight, and have kind of been on the circuit speaking about the changing the narrative, which you do as well, of body love and positivity and awareness and kind of coming back to ourselves. And so that's more or less what I do now, is, you know, kind of living in this space where I can educate women on how to really listen to their bodies and then also try to block the negativity that comes from, you know, society and all of that brainwashing. So yeah, I try and provide a safe space for everyone.
Well, and I am honestly so grateful that you wrote the book, Happy Weight, because that is how you came into my life, right? I remember receiving an email about your book, and that is when I met you. So thank you so much for putting that book out into the world. It is phenomenal. And what I love, you know, one of the many things I love about you is how you communicate listening to our bodies, right? I wouldn't necessarily call it intuitive eating, because I think when we talk about intuitive eating, there's already like this whole book about intuitive eating and like this definition. But when you talk about it, Danielle, it's like something else. It's like high level intuitive eating, in my opinion. That's how you talk about it, right? And I love that you, and the reason I'm talking about this is you recently put up an Instagram post about listening to your body versus like talking to your body. And I think that's one of the most powerful messages that you are, you know, showing up in the world and talking about. So I really love that about you. So can we talk a little bit about that today? Because you just have such a unique way of going about that conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm always game.
Okay, cool. So what would this like high level intuitive eating look like? And I know you know yourself, it's your approach to intuitive eating is a little bit different than what the majority would think intuitive eating is.
Yeah. So I'm very clinical. Being a practitioner is something that's very important to me, because the research that I've done, the studies, you know, that I've read, everything is, you know, it really is a culmination of the body being an individual. And I think this like blanket intuitive eating is, it just doesn't work, because then we're putting everybody back in a box again, right? We're trying to like develop this area of body positivity where everyone's unique. And then we say intuitive eating is all the same, just like listen to your cravings, right? But it's a lot more complicated than that. We are complex, you know, biological beings. And we have these mechanisms that are built inside of us in these very complex systems. And so what I like to teach women is about their body. you know, true body awareness, how their digestion functions, what their microbiome actually is, you know, how, you know, their brain is responding to different foods and their hunger signals, and you know, how sometimes food can be correlated to trauma. And with intuitive eating kind of in the world as a blanket specifically is encouraging women to just listen to whatever their hunger signals are telling them. And unfortunately, that isn't the complete reality of how our bodies and our brains actually work, because we can get very conflicting signals depending on what chemicals are going on inside of our body, what's being fueled, what's lacking, you know. And that's the thing, is especially with intermittent fasting right now, I have a lot of issues with it, because women are like, oh, I shouldn't eat until 1 o'clock and I'm never hungry, so that works for me. And no offense to anyone that's trying that, but the reality is that most of us, as soon as our feet hit the ground, we've got a ticking time bomb. Our pituitary hypothalamus is already firing to the rest of our endocrine system. And most often you're going to experience more issues with insulin resistance down the line if you prolong that intermittent fasting, because then we have excessive cortisol output, right? And then we start to fatigue the adrenals. And this is the thing, is that I think it can be very detrimental in a lot of these very fad diet worlds, because when we say, sure, just listen to your body and just talk to your body, it's far more complicated than that. So yeah, I do take it to another level, probably because I have this education and experience working in, you know, in clinical weight loss. So I have literally seen just about every single nuanced situation that a female body can go through, and we are all not built the same.
No, and I love, love, love that example, because, and how it relates to intuitive eating, because yeah, with intuitive eating, and I was even under this mindset for a really long time, you know, that, oh, I want to intuitively eat. I don't want to think about food anymore. So I'm just going to eat whenever the heck I'm hungry. But is that really serving my body in the best way? And you really need to take a look at where you are at and if that's like the safest, most nourishing action for your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the foods too. You know, this is the thing. I don't ever food shame anyone, because we're all in different places in our journey. But if we are trying to heal, that's a completely different space that we need to be in, because people that are listening to their bodies are trying to eat intuitively and are eating, you know, they're like, oh, my body just wants sugar for breakfast. It's like, well, yeah, because you have yeast inside of your gut that's controlling your neurotransmitters and telling your brain to feed it so it can continue to grow. And we all have yeast inside of our body, but when it's out of control, it can cause disease. And that's the thing that we don't consider. And that's the thing a lot of these intuitive eating coaches don't consider either, is that we could be doing a disservice to our healing process by, you know, listening to these quote unquote hunger cravings that we have going on. So,
So it's not intuitive eating to, you know, not eat sugar even though you're craving it, right? And that's why I call it kind of high level intuitive eating, is because if you're craving sugar, but you know you have candida, for an example, so you're avoiding sugar for a period of time, that is being intuitive. And the same thing And the same thing goes for your previous example. It's like, if you have adrenal fatigue, hormone imbalance, amenorrhea, like things like that, and you're doing intermittent fasting, or, you know, just not even eating breakfast because you're just not hungry, that is doing you a disservice. And it's actually being an intuitive eater by eating even though you're not hungry.
Exactly. That is totally it, 100%. The intuition is knowing what's going on inside of your body and really trying to forge this path to wellness. And then when you feel deprived, really that's when we start to do the work. Because why are we feeling deprived? What emotions are coming up for us? What traumas are coming up for us? And that's where the real work happens.
Yeah. Girl, you are so brilliant. And I see you showing up in this world. And I know showing up is something that you wanted to chat about today. Women showing up in our world and perhaps maybe not showing up in our world. So can you tell us why this is on your heart and, you know, why you wanted to chat about it today?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got two themes in my life right now that are just like weighing on my heart. One of them is shut up and listen, you know, getting deeper into that intuition. And the second one is do the work. And I really am feeling fiery about that statement right now, because I'm starting to see people just live in the positive every day. They're liking all the positive posts. They're only curating the positivity in their life. And I understand that there is a time and a place for positivity. It needs to be a balance. Clearly, I wrote a book on body positivity, but the other side of it is, you know, the yin to our yang is that we have to have that aspect of actually doing the work. We have to show up and do it. We can't just live in this space of perpetual positivity if we're not having some grit happen too, you know, where we show up and have those emotions keep coming up for us and working through them and trying to, you know, that's why I love the unbreakable you, because no matter how shitty it's going to feel doing the work, you're unbreakable. You're going to make it through, you know? And I'm feeling really passionate about that right now, because I'm starting to see these kind of like pseudo kind of missions where everyone's like, yeah, I follow all these self-help people and I read all the books, but I'm not actually doing the work. So
makes so much sense. I love this. And I love that you said you have these two themes on your heart. I think these themes come to us for a reason, right? And I feel like just with every new kind of phase and cycle happening, I always get these new themes coming to me as well. So yes, let's talk about what it actually looks like to show up. I love this topic, hun. So good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. I mean, we love each other very much. You know, we have had our own paths, and I think the thing is that we showed up and we did the work, you know? And so this is the part that can be frustrating with people, because it brings up a lot of emotions. Change is very difficult. And most often change can be derailed by the people in your life, right? It can be derailed by a spouse, a friend, a neighbor, a family member. There's always going to be something out there that's going to stop us, one, from listening to our body, because when something's not right, we already know. And it's kind of the narrative around us that are going to make us feel like everything's normal, nothing's wrong, right? And then there's going to be the aspect of, once we have found out something is going on inside of our body, taking the plunge and doing something about it, you know? And so there's a lot of confusion in the world right now, because social media is at its precipice, right? We've got our nutrition movement, we've got our body positive movement, you know, and then we've got this weird muddy space in between where people are like, we can't be both, you know, we can't talk about food and be body positive at the same time. But I call bullshit on that. Sorry if I'm allowed to cuss on your podcast.
Do it. Go ahead.
But I call BS. You can be body positive and think about your wellness at the same time, because I think to truly love your body is to give it the nourishment that it needs, whatever that means for you. And I'm starting to see people that they get kind of close. They're like, okay, well, I've gotten to a place where I'm looking in the mirror and I love myself, but I still don't love myself. Or I've gotten to a place with my food where I'm healing, but I'm still not healed. And so I'm starting to see that we're just scratching the surface and people aren't getting deep. Mm-hmm. You know, with my healing process, I know you had to go through a lot with yours. I went hardcore you know, I did the energy healing, I did the meditations, I did the hypnotherapy, I did the acupuncture, the GAPS diet, all of the things, because my mental health was so messed up. I did not want to feel that way anymore. And I refused to be a victim. I see a lot of victimhood in social media too, where it's like, I'm just going to live like this for the rest of my life. But I don't buy that. You know, if we say, oh, okay, I'm just going to live like this, it means that we're not willing to accept to show up and do that work. So that's kind of what I'm feeling.
Yeah, no, and that is all so great. So let's pretend there is someone listening right now and they do have a health issue that they are ready to dive into and face and overcome. What would be like the first steps for them in showing up? Because I do think there is kind of a middle ground almost between playing that victim, as you said, and just doing all of the things and kind of becoming obsessed with it too, right? Because I do see that in my life as well, you know, with clients or just people around me, friendships and whatnot. There can be an obsession. There's always, you know, two ends to the spectrum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing, is we can get into that orthorexic, like Munchausen by proxy kind of situation where we want to continue to be sick, or we want to continue to be ill. And that is a mental health issue in itself. And so I think that's what's making everything so complicated for people, is that they're like, I want to heal, but I don't want it to control my life. And the thing is that our healing journey, it can sometimes take a while, but it shouldn't take forever. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're 5 years into your journey and you're still feeling like garbage, there's something missing. And that's an opportunity to dig deeper and investigate. And I think that's when I tell people, okay, we have to understand and we have to live with balance in our life. But then there's some of us that are really ill. I have a fellow NTP and a friend that I just worked on a contract project with, and she was suffering from a severe bacterial Lyme infection, and to the point where her words were coming out wrong. She couldn't work, you know, all of these different things. And she was obsessed with her healing process, and she was 5 years into it and literally would not stray at all whatsoever, but wasn't getting any better. And some people told her mind over matter. It's your personality. It's your mind, you know, that's making you sick. And it turns out that she had severe heavy metal toxicity from childhood, but she knew that. She said that 5 years prior to her functional doc and said, I really want you to test my metals. I want you to test my metals. They said, nope, you're fine. And then finally they chelated the DMSA intravenous, you know, heavy metal detox, and she's fine now. So this is the thing. That's where the shut up and listen and do the work is. Listen to your intuition, and then let's get to work and investigate, and try not to be obsessive about it. Almost look at it like it's your job and not really like it's life or death. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And also come at it with like love at the, like, as the source, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing it out of love for yourself. And I do like what you said, you know, several minutes ago, is nourishing your body, you know, because you love it, and whatever way that looks like for you, it's always coming from a place of love. So doing that dirty work or that groundwork to figure out what your body is dealing with, yeah, there's like, it can turn into an obsession. But if you're coming from it from a place of love, then that changes everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is if we show up with that love every day and we commit to loving ourselves through our healing journey, we won't fall into that victim mentality and, you know, perpetuate that idea of us being ill. We'll actually, you know, embrace that our body is doing its best job that it can in that moment. And we're going to use our resources and our brain to love it even more, to try and find that true path. And, you know, people can become very obsessed with the idea of wanting to go back to the way that their life was before. But the thing is once you commit to that journey, your life is forever changed. And there's beauty in that aspect as well. And so trying not to be so confused by changing your life, because change is opportunity. And I think it's beautiful and another way to love yourself and to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just gives us another opportunity to like deepen that love for ourselves. So can we talk a little bit more about your shut up and listen theme? Because I think that's something that a lot of people are going to be interested in. I always love talking about tuning into what our bodies are telling us. And I, you know, that's a message that is really near and dear to my heart. Like our bodies are always speaking to us, and we know what's up before anyone else does, right? So absolutely. How has that showed up in your personal life, hun?
Yeah, for me, it's one of those things that our brain is going to always cultivate stories, right? You know, we have, I mean, our brain is, it's crazy amazing, but we can get too inside of our head, especially as women, we can second guess everything. Just had this conversation with a friend the other day, and she was saying how easy it is for men to have a conversation about grabbing a beer. They're like, you want to grab a beer? Sure. Yeah. There's nothing underneath that. But for women, it's like, well, does she really have a drink with me? Or is she just because she wants to be nice? Or like, are we really friends? Or what does this mean? And you know, that's the issue with us as women, is we always have 20 conversations going on at the same time inside of our heads. And so the shut up and listen is turning all that noise off and tapping into our actual intuition inside of our body, wherever it shows up. For anybody, it's different for everyone. For me, I feel it physically. I get very fatigued when I'm not listening to my intuition. And so just like literally quieting your mind and actually, and quieting the voices around you, because we're very heavily influenced by outside, you know, voices and expectations, and truly listening to that intuition inside. And that's something I've been like really focusing on lately. And it has just made me feel like an entirely different person in the most positive way.
Awesome. So for those who may not be prioritizing this or, you know, doing it as a regular practice, but are wanting to, what are some best practices for them? Because I'm sure there was a transition period in your life where you went from never listening to yourself to being who you are today and being like, I know exactly how I feel when I don't listen to myself.
Yeah, I would have to say just first and foremost, quieting the outside voices. So going to a space that is completely yours and is not dictated by anybody else. And that can mean something different for every person. I like to write, clearly. I'm a writer, so journaling is really important for me. And sometimes it's an out-of-body experience and words will come out that I didn't even know were there. And that's kind of like my personal transformation of understanding what my underlying feelings are. Some people are more artistic and they like to paint. Some people, you know, it's through their workouts. You can get messages when you're exercising because we have more oxygen, you know, flowing to the rest of the body. It's just very different for every person, but allowing a moment to yourself to cultivate a different story of finding where you are most happy. You know, whatever gives you kind of like that hit of just complete euphoria, and then also emotion. So a space that brings vulnerability, a space that brings like, you know, if you feel like bawling your brains out, but you don't know where that came from, explore it. You know, that's why the whole showing up and doing the work is important, because if we don't prioritize that time for ourselves, we'll never actually be able to find that voice.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought up crying, because I think that is part of the work. You know, if you mm-hmm. feel like you need to cry, you need to, part of the work is allowing yourself to feel every single emotion that your body is presenting to you.
Mm-hmm.
and getting comfortable with those. And another thing that I love what you said, Danielle, is that it's going to look different for everyone. And we need to honor and respect that. I remember I had someone tell me that I couldn't, you know, go on a walk and call that meditation when every single time I went out in nature on a walk by myself, like no phone, no headphones, anything like that, just me walking, I would always get these like huge downloads from the universe, right? Like things that I was trying to get clarity on and stuff like that, they would just come to me while I was walking. So I really want to emphasize that for everyone listening today is, you put it great when you feel like euphoria and you're just really like in your space and feeling so happy. That might be your place where you need to tune in and that you're going to be most in tune and able to listen to your body. So that was so great. Thank you. That was so beautiful, honestly. I do love all of this chat about listening to your intuition. So once we have tuned into our intuition, we need to actually go to work then and show up. So I know we're talking about health challenges, showing up for our health challenges, but if that doesn't really apply to someone in their life right now, how can this show up in other ways for them?
I think growth in general, that's always the word that comes up. And that's the thing is that we have this beautiful opportunity in this life to find true happiness and belonging, right? And whatever that means to every person is going to be completely different. For me, it's being able to continue to spread my message. And, you know, and that is when I feel most connected, is when I'm able to connect with other people. And, you know, this is the thing is that if it is something about growth that's emotional or very personal to you, like I said, it does, you said it didn't have to be about, you know, a food, nutrition, body healing journey, but it can be a spiritual journey for people. Whatever, I mean, you can follow any religion you want and or no religion and still have a spiritual journey. Because the true fact of the matter is we are intelligent, emotional beings. And we cannot deny when we feel good and when we don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about trying to feel perfect all of the time, but trying to find more moments where we feel most centered and most elevated, and then also most connected to who we think we truly are as an individual. And I think it's really important to find practice. And so I make sure that I am journaling a few times a week. I make sure that I'm in a space that is uninterrupted, that I feel where I have time to dedicate to it, because I've noticed some days when I force it and I have like a time slot, it feels rushed and I don't actually get to that place. So letting it be something that feels natural to you, whatever it may be. And I honestly, going back to what you said before, Meg, about people saying that you can't meditate by walking, that's crap. Because I can never meditate like they tell you you're supposed to meditate. Because, I mean, transcendental meditation is like a huge thing for a lot of people, but I've tried to do it and it doesn't work. But when I do my journaling, I feel completely transcended. Mm-hmm. And like literally, I feel like it's not a body experience, like something else is coming through and I'm working through some deep stuff and I totally like break down crying sometimes and then find myself refreshed and ready to move on after that. So it can mean whatever for you. But the thing is that we have to cultivate that practice in order to continue to see where this growth is going to take us.
Yes, yes. And I absolutely feel the same way about journaling for sure. My two things that I need to do every single day is journal. And now that the weather is so nice in the evenings, I've just been like going out for little walks, and that's kind of, you know, my meditation time. So Anyways, yeah, I think that's so great. So one thing that I wanted to talk to you about in regards to your showing up theme and like doing the work, one thing that kept popping up in my head was the word hustle. Now, how do you personally feel about this word? And is it like fitting into your showing up and doing the work, or how do you feel about all of that?
You know, honestly, somebody just posted something recently. I think it was Amy Tullifsrud. She's of Rebel Nutrition. Right. And she was talking about that gal who just wrote that book that says, it's called, what is it, like Girl Wash Your Hair?
Yeah, Girl like Wash Your Face. Everyone is talking about this book. And I'm not the type of person to read books because everyone is like reading them. So I have no idea what this book is, but everyone is talking about it right now.
Well, and you know, I'm sure the author is fantastic. I know writing a book is very hard. I did it myself, and you know, props to her. I mean, she's doing fantastic. Clearly she has a message that's reaching a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I think there's this obsession right now where everyone feels like professionally they're supposed to be doing better, and it's a lot of pressure. And I think that's why these kind of like these self-help workbooks or work coaches and stuff are doing so well, because everyone's just like really obsessed with money in their career right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's why, you know, Jen Sincero's like You're a Badass at Making Money did so well as well. You know, it's a great book. I've listened to it on audio and I think it's fantastic. It has a lot of good winners in there. But I think the hustle specifically, I've hustled beyond hustling. And I've done that whole like work 60 hours a week thing, and it's not sustainable. It's not healthy. It's not good for your mental health. It's not good for your relationships with other people. And people are so obsessed with bigger, faster, stronger now. And I think that's why I like Gary Vaynerchuk kind of perspective of like slow and steady wins the race. Because if you just like continue to talk about your message and get yourself out there, then eventually, you know, it'll be impactful. And if it only impacts one person, that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. I just think the hustle in terms of like doing the work, I think I mean like emotional work. I don't mean like let's ruin your life because you're trying to achieve a career that may not necessarily be befitting for you. And this is more recently a huge breakthrough for me, because I just gave up on giving a crap about making money. I'm just done. I'm so done. I'm also done with volunteering my time. I'm not like volunteering for good causes. I still do that. But I mean, volunteer, like I've done so much work over the last 6 years and not gotten paid for it so that I can quote unquote hustle. And it's just been exhausting. And I don't want to live in that space. I want to live in a space where I'm like true to myself, true to my friendships that are actually going to make me feel like I lived this life, and my family. And I want to be present. I'm so tired of thinking about tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because then you completely miss your life. So I think that hustle word is kind of bullshit. Again, I say the word because it will make you miss out on your life. It will make you not present in the moment. So I don't know. What do you think, Meg? What do you think about the hustle?
I do not like it. So I was just really wanting to make sure that the listeners knew that when you say show up, it doesn't mean hustle. And I wanted to, you know, set that kind of boundary so people knew that there was a difference, because I have never been that hustle type of person, yet I still get a lot of shit done in a day because I just show up, whether that's in my business. But I really love how you're tying this into, you know, showing up emotionally and, you know, within your health journey as well, just showing up and doing the work too.
Absolutely. I don't ever want people to think that your health journey or your mental well-being journey, whatever journey that it is that you're on, needs to be a do or die, make or break, all day, every day situation. That's not what I'm trying to preach. And for those of you who haven't read Happy Weight, I highly encourage you to read it. It'll be very different than any other body positive book you've read so far, because it really is about coming and showing up when you can, where you can, how you can, loving yourself through the entire process, and never for a moment comparing yourself to another human being, because our journeys are all different. We are not meant to do the same thing, or else life would be so boring.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely do recommend everyone reading Healthy Weight or Happy Weight, because I absolutely love it. And it's not just because you're my friend, but it's just a totally different book than anyone else is ever going to read. So you mentioned something about showing up and doing the emotional work. Is that something you see the women you work with, like your clients, you know, if they're not doing the emotional work, is that something that's preventing them from moving forward in their health journey?
Oh, 100%. I see that happening with just about everybody.
Okay.
I've had women sit on my couch before, my clinical couch, and start bawling and say, oh, I thought I worked this issue out years ago. And it's like, oh, well, clearly no. But then wouldn't actually continue going through the motions she needed to go through in order to get to the other side. So yeah, it's an epidemic. I think people dealing with their emotional hindrances where their healing journey is concerned is a problem.
And how can we support those women that, you know, are finding it difficult maybe to approach those healing, like the emotional work?
I think the thing is that giving people a space, because this is the thing I love to tell people, it's okay to not be okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're curating this positive space all the time on social media, but life isn't always positive, and that's okay. And it's not supposed to be positive, because how do we grow if we don't go through the shit, you know? And that's the thing, is we have to go through it. And so providing a vulnerable space for the women around you to be able to speak their truth, not shut them down if they want to share their trauma stories, recommending someone that is a professional and within their scope of practice with something that's really deep if they need that help. That's the issue that we have, I think, just in North America in general, is that mental health is like so taboo. And it's so bizarre to me that it's taboo to talk about real life.
That speaks to me big time. So how are you personally showing up in your life and doing emotional work for yourself right now? Because you and I both have stories and histories and journeys that brought us to where we are today. But that emotional work is never done. I know for me personally, I'm still doing emotional work and loving it all at the same time. But does it always feel, like you said, positive? No, we go through the shitty times too.
Yeah, life is a journey. We're never going to have this idea of perfect all day, every day for the rest of our life. That's not real. And I think that's, once we accept that, we will feel such a weight off of our shoulders. Because I think a lot of people are living for that perfect all of the time. They're living for that perfect Instagram shot, that perfect marriage, that perfect house, the perfect plate, you know, with food on it. Everybody's trying to find this thing that doesn't really exist, that is, it's not real. And so it puts so much pressure on us to do the real work. And the real work is always showing up every day as ourselves, you know, not being a victim to our past and taking responsibility for our actions and being emotionally present and providing space for those around us to be vulnerable. And like for you and I, Meg, like as friends, we show up for each other. You know what I mean? Like we've had a moment that wasn't positive for both of us, but we were so there You know what I mean? In terms of like doing the work and showing up and being friends and communicating and all that kind of stuff. And that's the thing is like so many people will like just go to the extreme because they can't communicate with each other or understand how to communicate with themselves or feel like their feelings or their voices aren't heard. And so I think it's honestly just like being aware and then of yourself and being aware that other people are allowed to have feelings and that their feelings are valid and true as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I'm so happy that you brought up communication because when we think about communication, we often think about relationships, right? We know that communication is so important for healthy relationships, but it's really about communicating with ourselves as well. And that just goes back to what you were saying previously about journaling. And I mean, whether you're a writer or not, I do think it's worth a shot, you know, picking up a journal and giving it a try for a few consecutive days and experiencing like the shifts that are going to take place. It's a huge part of my life. And I think it's so cool that journaling is such an important piece for you too.
Yeah. And you don't have to be a writer to journal.
No,
you don't. I mean, you don't, no one ever has to see your journal. No one ever has to read it or hear it or any of those things. It can be completely private. You can even burn it when you're done with it. It doesn't matter. But if you, just as long as your emotions are coming out of you, however that translates, it's important. It's important to make sure that we are being expressive or else that emotion traps inside of us and that becomes physical disease as well. So for anyone who's not familiar with Dr. Christiane Northrup, she is very well known in wellness for women and oncology and hormones. And she truly believes that disease begins in trapped trauma in the body, whether it could have been from a past life or a current trauma in your current life, whatever you believe in, she truly does believe that that there is a traumatic event that can take place that can, you know, create this disease within the body. So making sure that we are being expressive, I think, is really important. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And I love her work. And honestly, I could just keep talking about that with you now. But we are coming to the end of the show, unfortunately. Oh. I know, honestly, such a great topic. But I know you will come on and join me here again, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So before I let you go, Danielle, I have one more question for you. And that is, what does it mean to you to be unbreakable?
I think to me, to be unbreakable is to always stay true to myself.
Yeah, 100%. And you are so great at doing that. Like you said throughout this episode, it's showing up and, you know, even communicating with others on social media, even about the good days, but also the bad days, and just being 100% you, right? And I often, honestly, this thought has come to me a lot lately, just looking at my personal Instagram page, and it's like, yo, like the pictures aren't all awesome or anything, but it's like if you read each and every caption, you know, it goes through good days and bad days and just showing up. And I know you're doing the same work in our world. So I am so grateful that you and I were able to have a conversation on this show. Thank you so much.